As we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Psalm 126. This is from The Message. It seemed like a dream, too good to be true, when God returned Zion's exiles. We laughed, we sang, we couldn't believe our good fortune. We were the talk of the nations. God was wonderful to them, they said. God was wonderful to us. We are one happy people. And now, God, do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives, so those who plant their crops in despair will shout hurrahs at the harvest, so those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessing. Would you pray with me? Father God, as people look at our lives and the joy and the gratitude that we share, would they join those who looked at Israel in saying, wow, God has done great things for them. Father, you have done great things for us. Even in the things in our lives that are still hard and incomplete and overwhelming, God, you are abundantly good. And so our hearts are filled with joy. This morning, as we light candles and sing songs and lean into your word, would you let our hearts be renewed by the joy of our salvation? And could we go from this place moments from now as a joyful people, proclaiming the goodness of a God in a world that is longing to hear such news? Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, O God, for the gift of joy. Would you be so very pleased at our worship in this place? It is for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word, it's an ancient story. Would you make it new in us today? Would your spirit move freely in this place, helping us hear whatever it is that you want us to hear, so you might help us be who it is you want us to be, so you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When God gets ready to do his biggest work, what kind of people does God look for to do it with? Does he look for people of great influence? People of great means, great minds, perhaps. People with really impressive track records. We continue our Advent series in an unusual Christmas. This morning, remembering that God has always had a knack for using unusual people to do incredible things. If you were to take out a piece of notebook paper, you would notice that on both sides of the paper, there are those faded blue lines that separate the body of the paper from what we call the margins. When kids are first learning to write, they typically will ignore the margins altogether and put as many words as they possibly can on one line, filling up the space from left to right. But soon enough, we all learn that it's a good thing to keep our words between the margins. In college and in seminary, professors would always include margin requirements with their writing assignments. They tell us to write a 10-page paper, and they would always say, with 1-inch margins. Their fear, of course, was that students would try to sneak in much wider margins and thereby get by with writing much less on their papers. But I was always that really dorky kid. And I always had too much to say, as you know, who are here every week. And I hated the margin requirement, not because it made me have to write more, but because it made me have to write less. I could never keep my words within the page limit. And so they said 1-inch margins, and I'd finish and have a paper that was 2-3 pages too long, and I'd start sneaking it down to 0.95, 0.9, 0.85. And they hated that, it turns out. Professors hate when you don't save for them their precious margin space. I used to think that they were just being picky until I realized that teachers actually use those margins. They'd underline something in the paper and they'd do an arrow over to the margin, and that's where they would ask a question. Or that's where they would assure you that you were onto something, and they'd say, good job, keep it up on this train of thought. Margins, they were that place in the paper where dialogue took place, where this paper that was totally consumed by me actually gave space for someone else to enter in. The teachers, they might challenge me to take my thoughts in a totally different direction. Or what I found in the margin, it might stretch me in my learning or might encourage me. It always gave me space to grow as a student, as a writer, always. Margins, they invited me into a conversation, and with the conversation, into a relationship. And you know, the more I think about the story of Scripture and all the unusual people that God uses, the more I am convinced that God has created all of us to live our lives within some margins. God created us to live with a little bit of space around the edges. Created us to live with the space in our lives that continually invites God into our conversation, into our daily routine. God's created us to live with the space in our lives that allows him to sneak in whenever he wants to change the course altogether, or to challenge us, encourage us in our pursuit, or to raise questions that we haven't even considered yet. God has created us to live our lives with space in them that always allows us to see more and more of who he is, and who we are, and what it actually means to be his people on this earth. Margins that actually allow God to be Lord of our lives. When we meet Mary in Luke chapter 1, we meet an unusual girl who is living her life within some margins. She's this seemingly ordinary person, and yet she had space in her life to be challenged by God. She had room in her life for her entire course to be changed. We don't know much about Mary. We can assume that she was around 13, 14 years old. We know that she was engaged to be married to this guy named Joseph. In that kind of in-between time, looking forward to what will be, but isn't yet. The angel Gabriel, when he meets her in what seems to be a pretty open time in her life. When she's on the verge of something new, but she's not yet consumed by it. No career, no children, no husband, lots of margins. And we know that Mary was a simple girl. There's really nothing extraordinary about her. It's very unlikely that she was the smartest girl in her class or that she was voted most likely to succeed. Her family wasn't by any means the wealthiest family in Nazareth. In fact, we do know that she and Joseph were more on the poor end of the spectrum. Because whenever they bring Jesus to the temple to dedicate him when he's a week old, they pay for that dedication with turtle doves, the offering that was assigned to the poorest of folks. And so Jesus' mother on earth was fairly unassuming. If anything, she's a bit lowly. Unusual, it seems, that the Savior of the world would come through one so ordinary. And yet, our story tells us that almost every time God comes, he comes just that way. An angel sent from God comes to Mary of all people with news that changes everything. Everything about who she thought she was. Everything about what she ever imagined God could do. Everything about how her life would play out from that moment on. It changed everything. An unusual person with an unusual calling that would bless the entire world forever. And I propose this morning that Mary might have missed it if there were no margins in her life that gave her space to rethink everything about herself and her God and what she could do to serve him. Unusual people in this room this morning, is that you? That's me. I know all you guys. You are unusual. Unusual people. Do you want to join God in unusual ways that absolutely bless our world? Well, let's learn from the one whom God chose to be born from. Surely she has something to say to us. Mary. Mary. She received God's call. Because at the very least, she had space in her heart to reimagine who she was. Gabriel comes to Mary, the first words out of his mouth. Did you get them? Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. We don't get it here, but I can guarantee you Mary's immediate response to that. Greetings, favored one. Huh? That's inspired, I guarantee it. I can imagine her looking over her shoulder to see who he's talking to. Who else is in the room? Who's behind her? These words, greetings, favored one, it cannot possibly be for her. You see, it's one thing for an angel to come and pronounce these kind of words to the likes of King David or the high priest. I imagine that if he did that, no one would even blink an eye, much less the men that he was talking to. Everyone knew that they were highly favored kings and priests. I think they would probably just thank Gabriel for noticing. But Mary, this young girl who hasn't yet accomplished a thing, from a people in a place that hardly make the map at all. Favored, seen by God, inhabited by God. Really? So unusual. Gabriel assures Mary that his message hasn't been misdelivered. She is the favored one who will conceive and bear a son, and not just any son, but a son who will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. No mistake, Gabriel says. This simple girl from a humble means is chosen out of everyone on earth to bring the Son of God into the world. She's favored. And not because of anything she's done. Not because of any natural talent she holds. She's favored, it says, only for one reason. And that is because the Lord is with her. And the Lord has plans for her, regardless of what she thinks about herself. And you know, her story is really not so different from Israel's story, is it? We've got that ragtag, overlooked, simple group of people chosen by God of all people to display his glory in the world. Israel, favored, not because of who they were or what they ever did, but favored only because God chose to be with them and do great things through them. If Israel, why not Mary? And if Israel and Mary, why not me? And why not you, favored ones? I wonder this morning, my friends, who do you say you are? If I had the privilege in the coming days, which I would love, to sit with each of you one-on-one over a cup of coffee, and if I got to just simply ask you, so who are you? What would you say? What makes up your personality, your interest, and your passions, and even your insecurities and your fears? When you talk about yourself, what adjectives come to mind? In which ways do you feel so very ordinary? So easily overlooked? In which ways do you feel that your story has pretty much already been written because of the people you came from or because of what happened to you that can never really be changed? You see, Mary didn't exactly have the world at her fingertips either. There was a clear path for young Jewish girls to take. It involved marriage, motherhood, nurturing their family, old age, death. That was it. Until the angel Gabriel came and God interrupted the entire system and said, favored one, the Lord is with you. And because of that truth alone, there is more to you, Mary, than you have ever dared to imagine. My friends, this morning I ask, is the Lord with you today too? Is the Lord with you? You're not answering, so I'll tell you the answer. He is. He is. Every one of you. And do you know what that means about who you are? Favored one. Beloved. Yes. You. No, it's not a mistake. Yes. You. Fully known and totally wanted. Yes. You. You are seen. And you are adored. Yes, you. And you know, the world, don't we love the world? They will try to fill up that page that tells you who you are. And they will try to fill it up totally based on your mistakes and your failures and your incompetencies and your inadequacies. But I tell you this morning, my friends, don't let them do it. They don't get that power over you. Keep those margins open for God to come in and show you and tell you who you really are. And it is not based on anything that you have done or left undone. It is only based on the fact that our God is with you, just because our God wants to be with you. And his being with you changes everything about who you are. You are now a child of the living God. You are a person walking hand in hand with the Lord of the universe. Unusual people called by an extraordinary God when they leave just a little bit of room for God to tell them who they really are. Mary had room in her heart for God to redefine who she thought she was. Favored one. Who, me? Yes, you. Do you have room in your heart for God to change everything about who you think you are? Then Mary had room in her mind to reconsider what she thought God could do. She hears her new identity, mother of Jesus, and she asks, how can this be since I've never been with a man? And Gabriel says, easy. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child will be holy, the Son of God. Nothing will be impossible with God. I can tell you, if Mary wasn't perplexed before, she is totally perplexed now. How will her calling to mother this special son come to be? Not by rushing ahead her marriage with Joseph and letting it happen the way birth have happened every single time since Cain and Abel. No, that would be much too ordinary. This child would come from the Holy Spirit with no father but God alone. And just like that, everything begins to change between Mary and God. Her idea of what it means to be favored totally transformed. Because you know, when God had said that Israel was favored, it meant that they had this land of milk and honey waiting for them, and that they were going to have power to defeat their enemies, and that they were going to have this really great name. And when God had said that his kings, the kings of Israel, were favored, it meant that their territory, it increased and it increased along with their fame. And now you've got this young teenage girl, favored, soon to be pregnant out of wedlock. And we will see that term totally redefined. She'll discover that God's favor isn't always about milk and honey and getting the best parking spot at Target in the Christmas season. She'll learn instead that being favored is about living with this gift of God's presence, even when that presence takes you to some really hard, misunderstood, lonely kind of places. You know, I wonder how long it was before Mary told her parents the news. And I wonder how they could have believed her. Really, Mom and Dad, it was an angel. Right. I wonder how long they questioned if their daughter was lying to them, covering up some shameful secret with this ridiculous tale. I wonder how long it was before the neighbors and the good church folks began whispering about her, saying things like, oh, bless her heart. Yeah, you know that. You know, I can't help but think that this favor stuff, it just wasn't all that glamorous for Mary. And then when this baby was only a week old, she'd hear from that prophet Simeon that her own soul was going to be pierced too. Is this favor? And as Jesus would grow, it seems her pain would only grow with him. She stood by his side as he was questioned and mocked and eventually beaten and crucified before her very eyes. Is this favor? Watching your child struggle his whole life long. You see, the angel didn't reveal all the gory details to Mary right then and there. And isn't there grace in that? Isn't there grace in the way he only gave Mary what she needed in the moment to assure her that God was up to something never before imagined? He gave her just enough to let her know, as hard as it was going to be, this was God's doing. This was God's great big plan, and so it must be good. Twists and turns and all. A child born of the Spirit through a virgin girl. God's favor revealed through a path of struggle. In that moment, everything Mary understood about how God could work changed, and she let it change in her. An unusual girl with room in her life to let God be God. No limits on what she believed God could do. And with that, she got to join in his unusual plan to save us all. What about your view of God? If in our conversation over coffee, if we got to move from who are you to who do you understand God to be, what might you say? What are the problems that you most see in our world? And which of those do you imagine to be nearest to the heart of our God? And do you think God could really do anything about them in your lifetime? Do you? And do you imagine that you might could have a part? How long has it been since you saw God in a new way? How long has it been since you learned something about God and you had to just stand in place and say, wow, so awed by who he is? How long has it been since you let God invite you to join him in a brand new work? How long has it been since you let God lead you down a hard path just so you might get a chance to know him more? Unusual people who keep their minds open to being blown away by who God is and what God can still do. They join God in changing our world still today. Not a one of us in this room has God figured out. And I've paid a lot of tuition money trying, and it hasn't worked yet. Not a one of us has fully imagined what God can actually do before our very eyes in this day and in this time. Not a one of us. So could we not be those unusual people who live in this world with a great big dose of humility and wonder, always ready for God to blow us away with something that the world has labeled as impossible? Might we be the voices of hope and peace and joy that say, oh, don't you know, oh world, that with our God, nothing is impossible. That is when unusual people join God's story in extraordinary ways. Can't we be those people? With all of this on the table, Mary responds. Some of the most beautiful words in all of these pages. Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Really? Really, Mary? Surely she had other questions to ask. Like, oh, Gabriel, and how do you suggest I break this news to my parents? Got a telegram from heaven for me? That might help. Gabriel, what about my 10-year plan? This parenting the Son of God doesn't exactly fit into that. And about that, what should I feed him? Is there a special diet for sons of God? Yeah, these are practical things. What if I make a mistake? What if he gets hurt? The Son of God, injured on my watch. Can I handle this? Why me? How? Wait, not so fast. None of this. Just a simple, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And the angel departs. Holy smokes. Only time will tell what she's agreed to. It will be intense and glorious. It will rip her heart out, and it will cause her more joy than she has ever known. It will be messy and bloody and beautiful and good. It will be hard, and it will be worth it. It will be worth it. And what for us? What for us? What if God has a calling for us to step into, but to do so just might mess up the retirement fund? What if that place where his will intersects our lives tears down the white picket fences and security systems that we've worked so hard to put into place, and instead calls us to throw ourselves fully into this thing called love? What if he calls us to remove the word retired from our vocabulary altogether? We're too young or too ordinary. What if his calling might cause others to question our sanity? What if it completely changes who we choose to call neighbor and friend? What if it changes everything? Everything. Is there space in our lives for everything to be turned upside down? Is there any room in the 10-year plan for everything to be interrupted? As you write out the tale of who you are and who God is and what you understand God's up to and how that might involve you, are you leaving space in the margins for God to speak into that too and actually add his piece to it? He created you, after all. He might have some good ideas. When's the last time we told God with genuine hearts, here I am, O God, your servant. Let it be to me according to your word, whatever it is. Let it be to me. That's when unusual people become part of a world-changing plan. That's when ordinary folks like us become the actual hands and feet of the living God in our very own pocket of the world. Let it be done to me, God, according to whatever you say, whatever you want. Let it be done to me. There is room in my life for you, O God, to move in and to change absolutely everything. Let it be done to me. Those are unusual words these days. And they make us unusual people who will carry the light of Jesus into the unusual places where that light most needs to shine. Have you spoken these words? Have you said this yes to God? Whatever that yes might mean. And are you ready to speak them again today? Here I am, O God, just your servant. Let it be done in my life, however you want it to be. Once you're ready, once you speak those words, hold on, my friends, because Jesus just might be born in you. And Christ in you, that's gonna change everything. Things will get messy. Things will get hard. Things will get absolutely overwhelming. And things will get beautiful. And things will start healing. And things will be changed by love. It will be wild and it will be crazy. And it will be good. And hear this, it will be worth it. Are you ready to speak these words? God, whatever it is, let it be done in me according to your word. This Christmas, oh God, be born in me. There is no better gift we could offer our God this season than these words. God, whatever you want, let that be done in me. Are you ready to offer that gift today? It will be worth it. Would you pray with me? Oh God, that you want to be born in us, for your life to inhabit our lives, for your light to shine through all we say and do. Us, these humble, messy, simple vessels like Mary, God, we feel so inadequate most days. We feel so unusual and sometimes so usual. And that you would look on us and say, favored ones, boy, do I have a plan up my sleeve for you. God, that we might imagine your dreams, that we might believe in your heart for us and for our community and world, and that we might want nothing more than to join in on the front lines of what you're doing, turning everything upside down as your kingdom comes. This Christmas, oh God, be born in us. Here we are, your servants. Let it be done in us as individuals and as a church, according to your dreams, to your heart. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.